honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by the U.S. Army. Find your place on the Army team at goarmy.com/warriors.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit today with 95-year-old Joe Reyes of Fresno, California, Army veteran from the 473rd AAA, anti-aircraft artillery during World War II. We're going to get a couple other memories from his time in Europe, but when we left off, he was talking about coming home from the war, something obviously you were looking forward to, Joe, but that didn't exactly go according to plan. I think our audience is going to get a kick out of this story, so tell us, how'd you get home?
In a victory ship. We didn't like that. 500 troops in the victory ship is light, you know, it's small. Had a storm out there coming home, and we thought we'd drown. That thing was out there, like, off like that. You lost the sea. Come down, and the sea was up there. We thought we had it. I mean, to tell you, it was rough. Finally, we hit calm seas, you know. And no, calm seas were still rough, but we made it to New York.
So you must have sailed past the Statue of Liberty then.
Oh, yes, there's the old lady, we said. You know, we're sure glad to see her, the old lady. And they put us in barracks, in our hot, nice, warm barracks there, waiting for us to board a plane to come here to California, the ones that were from California. So we landed in Camp Bill, and that's where they brought us. Greyhounds will take you, get the one going to Fresno, the ones that are going to Fresno. Okay, we'll go out there. And there's a line, we'll never get that. We'll probably wait till morning to board a Greyhound. So one of the guys said, let's get out there and hitchhike. We go out on the highway, and the doggone car pulls up. You guys looking for a ride? Yeah. We pile it in on top of other guys, and then in that car going the same direction, you know. So we finally got into Fresno, and the guy said, you guys get into the Greyhound and phone a taxi. They'll take you home. And that's what I did.
Do you remember the look on your mother's face when you walked through the door?
Oh, let me tell you. I went to the address they gave me, and that was my aunt's house. So I knocked on the door. It was late at night. My uncle and my aunt come out. I didn't know them. So I embraced my aunt thinking it was my mother. Because, you know, she looked like so much like her mother. I'm home, Mom. Well, son, I'm not your mom, but thanks for the hug. You know, she's that type of woman, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'll take it to her, Mom. You can hug her all you want. She said. So from there, we got home and got a big party for my homecoming. Everybody was glad that I made it home. My brothers came from the service, and they were discharged, too. Well, my life went on from there on. I didn't waste no time in trying to get a job.
And we heard a little bit of that, but I want to circle back to Europe, because Tom Pearson, who suggested I interview you, told me you had a story about a brush with a German Tiger tank.
Our infantry was seen to bypass this little town, but in the process, you know, advancing equipment of all kinds. They went around this town, but some of them got caught in that town by Germans. There were Germans in there. So they made prisoners of this. I think it was 100 of them. Well, we got set up to fire on chateaus or high buildings where there was German directing motor fire. So we set up, we didn't pay attention to the motor fire. We set up we put a mirror in the bridge of our guns, and then we look into the mirror, and there was crosshairs in the barrel from the mirrors we put in there. And they tell us you fire at that, when you're on target, fire on that chateau, 50 calibers too. Synchronized that one building. When you give the order to fire, everyone was different. Positions, different targets, and doing the same thing. So you give it a burst of 50s, and you see where they're going, see where the tracers are going. You might have to make some adjustments because we're about a mile away, I guess. But that's nothing for a 50s and a 37 millimeters. But the mortar fire was coming in. The Germans knew that when we fired the 50 calibers, that we were going to fire again because we were on target now. So they get out of there because they knew what we was going to really pour the bullets there down there and the cannon. They get out of there quick. If it was a church, we didn't destroy it. There might be some shrapnel on it, but that's about all. They got out of there so fast when they saw the second, third, fourth wave of infantry coming up with bazookas. You know, they got their field glasses, and they could tell what's coming up. Right at that time, we pulled out of there. And then because the mortar fire stopped, so we let the infantry do the next job. Here I came pulling out. And we looked back, and we were right there on the field of fire of this Tiger tank. And I tell the guys, we tell the driver, hey, put it in overdrive, there's a Tiger tank. And say, he's got us. Look at him, he's got us. Because we see him pointing the barrel, you know. Oh, my God, he's going to really let it out. And all of a sudden, the top, the lid of the tank opens up, and the German was come up with their hands up. They must have seen all the bazookas, you know, everything. Well, when we pulled out of there, we were on our way to do other jobs because we were unattached. We might be with tanks one day, with a quartermaster car or airfield or something, you know, but we were unattached. But we never told where we were going. Well, as we pulled out of the town to go toward the front, there we see those GIs strung on back roads. Oh, man, it was a sight. To hell and back. That's, we went up there and went right beside them. They were all strung out. To hell and back. The whole column stopped right there. I don't know why. Because the leading Jeep is way up ahead. We looked at those GIs and, man, alive. They held them back. Some were crying. Some were sitting on their helmets, some up against trees, not saying a word. All of a sudden, a sergeant stands up. He struggles to come to our half track. He puts his hands up, and I thought he was going to shake my hand, but he put his hand on the side of the half track to steady himself. And he looked with those eyes. Oh, man, this is Joe. You know, they call Joe anybody. Hey, Joe, you have anything to eat? We haven't eaten in days. Tiger Fury, Grossgrutz, get those cans out of the turret of the hollow and throw them over the side. So we did that. I mean, we had a lot of spam. We didn't want like spam. So we had a lot of spam in the turret. That's a hollow place. Cans of everything, and we threw them over the side. Man, you ought to see those guys rush. They rushed to the doggone cans. They got their bayonet out. They didn't use a church key. You know what a church key is?
Yeah.
They didn't use that. They could use their bayonets to open a nuke with bare hands and just open the food like that.
Because these are the American soldiers who'd been captured that you guys just liberated by taking out that chateau?
Yes. Well, the Germans knew what was coming next. That's why they let them loose. And they gave up themselves as prisoners, too. That's when we pulled out of there. Yeah, that sight, we'll never forget. None of us. Our first impression was hell and back. All of those that I went with, buddies that were in the service, they're all gone. Those were the only friends I had at that time, you know. They're gone now, and I wish them or pray for them, you know, that they're better off than I am now.
How close did you guys become? Because you're going through things no one should have to go through.
There's only two guys I got close to. The rest, they despised me, not only because I was Mexican, but because I had the top position in the half track. I could tell them what to do in there. He said, Joe, you're not as smart as we are. How come you got that high position here? You're only a corporal. We got no stripes. Well, who's the smartest? You that you got drafted? Oh, I did. I enlisted. You know, I still remember that. I said, Joe, don't bother with them. Don't clench your fists. They're just jealous. Scopetti. I'll never forget that name. Andrew J. Scopetti. The Italian from Brooklyn. In those days, oh, man. We had a grand time, Scopetti and I. Anybody else? The war is over, Joe. You go your way, I go mine. That's what the other guy said.
Were you aware of the concentration camps where all these Jews and other political prisoners were being held?
We saw the ovens. Yeah, we saw the ovens. I remember one time going up to the Harz Mountains, way up there, a village way up in the mountains. We passed those ovens. And, you know, they were all strung out, you know, where they burned up the Jews and all that. They was isolated, so been liberated and everything already. We didn't see anything that our eyes could endure, you know. So we went up to the Harz Mountains. We set up positions over there, checking people coming in and out of the village, make sure that they lived there, make sure that somebody didn't sneak in some spies of any kind. We check them out. Yes, and we didn't stay there long.
I don't want to leave anything important out, so if there's anything else you think of, feel free to share. But I also don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us some of your experiences. I guess what I'm interested in knowing is, what's your perspective on what you guys did over there, why it should be still significant and remembered today?
First of all, our motto was, let's get this war over with so we can go home. So that made us fight a little harder. We wanted to get it over with and go home. And we did. It cost us lives. But those GIs that gave their lives so that we can enjoy the fruits of our work today, they'll never be forgotten. That's why we celebrate Veterans Day, Armistice Day, honoring those that were left behind. They made it possible for us to enjoy our liberty. It's in our hearts and minds. The whole country supports our GIs, and they pay honor to the fallen ones. That's why our country exists today. Liberty and justice for all. You can't get any more liberty than that.
What would you say you're most proud of?
Well, I'm proud of the people that are grateful. Today, they show their gratefulness of the sacrifice that was made to keep America free.
You know, I was just thinking, listening to your close calls that you talked about, the Messerschmitt that almost crashed into you, the sniper bullet that just missed you. I've heard a lot of different answers to this. Did you feel like someone was looking out for you?
Well, my mom said, I'll light those candles while you're gone, and I'll pray for you. The candles will never go out. They won't even go out after you come home, because we're going to be grateful that you come home. And I guess your prayers had a lot of effect. That's our Catholics believe in that. So mom was... To us, she was the greatest mother that ever lived.
And I've got to ask you, since you're 95, you're still in great shape, and your hair's not even really gray yet at age 95. What's your secret to staying so young and active?
You must exercise. You must keep your heart alive all the time. Don't let him sit down in a rocking chair. And as long as I can remember, I take a hot shower, and then I cool the water till it's cool on my head, and it rinses off with that cool water. That closes the pores on your the cool water, and you feel better than when you get out of the shower with just hot water. So it works for me. My mother taught us all that. To me, she was the greatest mother that ever lived.
Well, I just remembered the one other thing I have to have you do. You gonna sing for me?
There was a hiney who lived in Berlin, who thought he could rule all the world. He must have forgotten the stars and stripes and the land on the which we unfurl. In Texas, they trained us to knock out his planes. He'll know us by 473. The best of the jackals goes to anti-aircraft, especially to Battery D. Barry deep, Barry deep, our rain will be known well. We'll spot them and track them at midpoint, we'll smack them. We'll do our job well or we'll die. Bless them all, bless them all. The handwriting up on the wall. We just won't be mastered by those German bastards. We'll do our job well or we'll die. We'll do our job well or we'll die.
Who came up with that?
That was an Irishman in my squad. His name was Tiger Fury. He's always writing poems. He could write letters to his mom, to anybody with the highest penmanship. And the manner in which he wrote the poem or a happy birthday, he was great at that. So one day he told me, Joe, you have a great voice and I want you to learn this song. I learned it, you know, by reading it over and over again. Then he sang it for me. And that's the way I sang it a little while ago.
So you've been singing that for 75 years?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I don't forget it. It's right down to the point.
And if you'd like to see Joe Reyes singing that song and witness the animation and his expressions as he does, check out the video at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by the U.S. Army, building a new generation of leaders at goarmy.com/warriors.